matter what people say, we got it going on. Who cares about what they say?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the street.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beats, to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful week so far. So, actually, I keep saying wonderful, wonderful week so far. Okay, so before I go into this whole spiel like I always do, today I have a very special guest. Well, he's not even like a guest anymore, I guess.
I might as well have like my own bedroom.
I mean, I think you are probably the most reoccurring voice on my platform. So congratulations, Paul Bromley.
I definitely feel honored.
So for those of you who this is your first time listening to the show, Paul Bromley is one of my brothers. I met him years ago when we started the DA's office in Brooklyn. He's been on the show a couple of times now, and so he's going to be doing the show with me again today. So that is the male voice that you hear on According to RP. So welcome, Paul.
Yeah, it's not you. Hey, what's up, guys? Glad to be back. Always a pleasure to share the mic with you, RP.
Yes.
So, you know, it's always a fun time.
It's always a good time. Always a good time. So in the beginning of the show, like, I thought I had this down pat because, you know, I moved from Thursdays to Sundays. So when I was doing it on Thursdays, I was always hoping everybody was having a great week so far. And so when I moved to Sundays, my line was supposed to be, you know, I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend and I hope we're getting ready for the next week. And I keep like, I don't know, man. I just, my mind doesn't want to give up the Thursdays, but at some point, I'll figure it out.
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress, man. You know, I have to, it's baby steps. I can't be too hard on myself.
I just want everyone to know that that Rita got me out of the she woke me up extremely early in the morning.
Listen.
So I'm attempting to be heavily caffeinated. My eyes are definitely still glued together, and I am very grateful that you all can't see me right now. I don't know what it looks like, but I know that I definitely look like something that should not be seen.
Well, listen.
But we're here for you all. So we got to do what we have to do.
We got to do. Listen, well, first of all, you know, I wake up like this, you know, how Beyonce says. So, you know.
I do not.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm like, what?
My hair's in braids right now. But you know what it is? The crazy part is today, though, even though it is, you know, crack of dawn early, my body is still on like the week schedule. I was rolling around at like 6 a.m. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, why?
Not by any choice of my own, but because of these beautiful children that I have. But I'm here.
The beautiful children. We gotta stress beautiful.
I'm here.
Oh, we got to stress beautiful. So today we have, you know, whenever PB is on the show, you know, we're always talking mad stuff. But, you know, we touch on both important and ratchet issues when we're on this show.
That's fair.
I think that that's what should be noted. We try to like, we have like a very, I don't know, a very garden variety set of topics that we cover on, you know, whenever we get together with great commentary. So today's show is going to be similar to, you know, some of the past RP and PB shows, if you guys have been tuning in. But we are going to go through with our preliminaries. And today, you know, Paul has actually nominated the Big Up of the Week, right? And the Womp Womp of the Week. But before we get, I'll put you on the spot right now. But before we get into that, though, what is stable is at least the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week. So it's time for the Urban Dictionary.
You gotta give me an my keep around here.
I mean, listen, you're not gonna come up on this show and think that you're just gonna, you know, be served.
All right.
Now you're the guest that can come into the house and go to the refrigerator and get your own damn water. But we're gonna start off with the Urban Dictionary word of the week. So it is now time for our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Happen on fleek, Jalit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So, this week's, I don't know if you ever heard this word, but you'll let me know, shadow ban. Have you heard of the term shadow ban?
Shadow ban? Like B-A-N-D-S?
B-A-N. Shadow ban.
No. Okay. But let me take a stab at it.
Okay.
Let me
see okay, Savant. Let's take a stab.
All right. Shadow, B-A-N-S or B-A-N-D-S?
Shadow, S-H-A-D-O-W-B-A-N, okay. Ban.
Shadow ban. Oh, no, I'm not that hood. I don't know. Carry on.
All right. So the definition goes.
I was thinking it had something to do with like money or something. But
nah.
I don't know.
Okay. I see where your mind's at. Nah. It's that Jeezy album that came out. That's why. That's why you're all over the place. But no. So the definition goes, a shadow ban is an excuse trolls and sad people use to justify why no one bothers to read, reply, or like the content that they post online. They assume that it must be because their content is hidden from public view. In fact, they're just boring. So there's an example. I know for sure I've been shadow banned because hardly anyone comments or likes my posts on Twitter. It is definitely a shadow ban conspiracy because I know I'm like genius and everyone would be amazed by my super radical views.
Wow.
This was
niggas
some,
love
yeah.
a conspiracy theory, don't they? They love a conspiracy.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, maybe your shit is just whack. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe you don't know what times to post your content. Because I've been learning that, you know, there is actually a serious algorithm, especially when it comes to Instagram.
Right, influencer. I see you, influencer.
I'm claiming it. I'm claiming it. But I also feel like people, you know, what the other thing I've learned, though, when it comes to, like, social media and content, like, you post what you need to post. Like, if only three people right. like your picture, then three people like your picture.
100%.
You know,
a lot of people
saying?
Like are clout chasing, you know, like on the internet or whatever. And it's like, you know, if you post content or whatever, like if you're doing it for the sake of being seen and being like heard and trying to like gain some sort of notoriety, and there's no sort of like actual like genuineness in it, like you're never going to find what it is that you're looking for. Just post what you feel. Just do what you feel. But if you're out here like, you know, trying to like clout grab, like you're never going to make it. You're never
exactly.
going to get
exactly. I mean, you will get crushed out here in these streets. You know how many things I posted that I got like 5 likes, and it's not because it's not fire. It's just, you know, some people are just scrollers and you know they're not really likers.
I've written like pieces and articles and things of that nature, and you know, I put my time into it, and I'm like, oh, this shit is fire. This shit is hot. I know this is about to do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
You post it up, you get like 3 likes.
Yep, and no comments. And, no comments.
you know, or anything, and it's like, you know, it could be a gut check, but it's also humbling. Like, you know, you're not. The world is big, you know what I mean? And it's a reality check too. Like I should not be doing these things, or people in general, you shouldn't be doing these things, excuse me, to gain like some sort of like, you know, internet infamy or something like that. Just write from your heart. Just post, do what you feel, post content from your heart and be genuine. But if you're out here, like I said, if you're out here, you know, chasing lights, that's sad.
Exactly, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, if you're a shadow banner out there and you know, it's you're thinking that it's because there's a conspiracy against your stuff. There's no conspiracy, ma'am or sir. It's either you haven't figured out the Instagram algorithm yet, or people just don't want to like your stuff. But my encouragement to you, if you are somebody who is identifying as a shadow banner, who thinks that it's all about them and that, you know, it's a conspiracy, just do what Paul said. Put your stuff out there. Whoever likes it. As long as you like it, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. This guy is not following you, you know, and your three followers over pictures of your cat.
Exactly.
It's just not happening that way.
Speaking of pictures of my cat, I took some pictures of my cat this morning. I will be posting them on Instagram. So if people do not like them, whatever. But Paul, I expect you to like the picture of my cat.
Well, I'm going to like it now. I didn't know you had a cat.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know I have... See, that's how I know you're not on my Instagram. I mean, I don't...
You have a cat?
I don't post about him that often. But if you were following me, you would know that I have a cat. Yeah, it's going to be almost a year now. I have a cat. His name is Chester McChesterton III. He's a Scottish Fold, so he looks like Puss from Puss in Boots.
Oh, so he's like a little orange cat.
Yeah, he's a little orange cat. So it's like I have a love-hate relationship with him. So, you know, about a year ago
I have a hate relationship with cats. I hate cats.
Yeah, this cat is like a dog. This cat is literally, he's a cat dog. Like, he follows me around. I play fetch with him. Like, he meow barks at me when I don't give him attention.
But that's how cats are. Cats are so demanding, and they're, like, evil, and they're real, like,
no, not this
dramatic.
He is dramatic. He's very dramatic, but he's also very loving like a dog. But I got him about a year ago because I was feeling a little lonely in life, and I was like, I need love, you know? And so... I went and got a cat. I was like, I need something around this house. So I've had him since he was a kitten. Well, he's still a kitten, but since he was like, you know, maybe 10 weeks old. So he kind of grew up, you know, with me. But they didn't tell me that this cat was going to like shed like this. I feel like I want to give him away, but it's like my heart, you know, is already attached to him. But I have lint brushes all over my house. Like, that's how crazy it is.
Well, okay. So you're different because most people that know of cats don't have lint brushes in their house. And whenever I've walked into their house with their cat, it smells like, you know, hot urine.
Nah, we don't play games around here.
I know you personally.
Yeah, no, we don't play these games.
I won't assign the old cat lady moniker to you because I do know you personally.
Yes.
But overall, I think cats are evil. I think that they are, I think that demonic spirits are reincarnated
mercy,
in them.
Mercy, mercy.
And but I will hold out on judgment. I will hold judgment on Chester.
Yeah, Chester McChesterton III. I don't know who the first or second was, but that's what came to mind. So right. You know, I let the spirit move me on that name. So
sounds very bougie, but we can. I'll make it work.
I mean, listen. Well, his Jamaican name is Sergey, so you know. Yeah, if you want to call him Sergey, that's his Jamaican name. You know, because Jamaicans always have names that are never like theirs. Like, you're like, oh, his name is like Jason. And then you find out, like, you know, when something serious happens, that his name is really like Thomas, his government name. So Chester's Jamaican name is Sergey. So.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, like I said, I will withhold judgment. But the rest of you out there with cats, don't keep them away from me.
Man, so we're moving on to, you know, one of my favorite sections or segments of the show. So it's now time for the big up of the week. Watch it! And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman, them big up, big up. All of the girl, them big up, big up. All of the woman, them big up, big up. What? So, Paul, who's our big up?
Oh, absolutely. All right, so I'm earning my keep around here.
Yes.
The big up of the week this week is none other than ASAP Rocky.
Damn.
Anybody who knows me knows that this is definitely off-brand for me to be bigging up ASAP Rocky. However, he definitely deserves it this week. And a lot of you guys know. I know you guys have to know this. Apparently, ASAP Rocky was arrested a few weeks back for an alleged assault
mm-hmm.
in Sweden. And the Trump administration decided to intervene allegedly on his behalf, trying to force the Swedish government to release him. What I understand, that did not help. It actually hindered the process. Fast forward, however, ASAP Rocky was released from jail, and he was convicted of the assault in Sweden, but he doesn't have to serve any jail time or anything of that nature. So apparently, the word on the street is that the Trump administration expected ASAP Rocky and his team to issue this grand gesture of thanks to the Trump administration after his release for their quote-unquote aid in releasing him from jail. And apparently, since the charges have been dropped, ASAP Rocky and his team are not returning any phone calls to the Trump administration. They have not given any public thanks or anything of that nature. And apparently, love does not live there anymore. And I, for one, am bigging up ASAP Rocky for that, because why? Why on hell? Why on God's green earth would this black man, with all of his problematic things and all his problematic, you know, issues, mm-hmm. you know, especially concerning, you know, the black community and his thoughts and his views, you know, on like the Black Lives Matter movement and things of that nature, because you know that he made statements in the past apparently saying like people, he was conducting some sort of interview, and the interviewer asked him about his, you know, stance on like Ferguson and the issues that will happen in the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. You know, I am far removed from that. I don't live, you know, in Ferguson. I live in Soho. from Harlem, you know, he's just like, you know, I'm removed from those issues. I'm not concerned about any of that. But apparently, you know, he got one thing right, and that's, y'all not going to have my black face out here apologizing. Excuse me, saying thank you to the Trump administration. Like, you know, I'm in Soho, but I'm not that dumb. So apparently he is not returning their phone calls, and the Trump administration is upset because
they really expected that he was gonna be like on his knee saying thank you, master.
Yes, because apparently the Trump administration was trying to gain favor with the black community to gain black votes for the upcoming election. So I say big up of the week goes to ASAP Rocky, because, you know, we can be a lot of things, but one thing that we won't be is groveling at the knees of Donald Trump, or groveling at the knees of an administration that clearly has absolutely no real concern for the black community, but is only attempting to garner votes and trying to siphon off votes from a community that always, I feel like the black community, whenever it's election time, we get all the lip service.
Oh, of course.
At the end of it. And it's so blatant and so apparent. Like, Trump has no idea who ASAP Rocky is. I think he even said that when the whole controversy started, you know. And, you know, it's kind of offensive to me that you think that, you know, the black community is that fickle or that blind that we can't see, you know, you didn't pull the wool over our eyes. We all know that you don't give a damn about ASAP Rocky or young black men that come from communities like him, even though ASAP Rocky claims he's from Soho.
He said he's from Soho. We gotta support where he's from. He said he's from Soho.
Correct. But I didn't see anyone from Soho, you know, out here championing for his release. But that's another topic for another day, because we're supposed to be speaking positively to brother ASAP.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, but you know, sometimes with the big ups, I mean, we got to be a little realistic. But I do feel you. I support this big up of the week, you know, because he could have definitely fell into the trap of thanking, you know, Donald Trump and his goons for, I don't know, lobbying or doing whatever the hell Donald feels like he did to get him released. So I do agree with you that this is definitely a big up worthy, I guess, nomination.
Absolutely. Don't placate to them. Don't do that.
You know,
for that, you get the big up from me this week.
All right. Now, the question I have for you, though, since we go on tangents on this show all the time. So we're talking about, you know, the politicians at this, you know, stage in the game trying to garner the black votes. Now, who do you think, I guess, is the most despicable? Hillary going on, I don't know if it was the Breakfast Club or whatever, talking about she got hot sauce in her purse, or Donald Trump trying to garner some sort of, like, you know, I don't know, thank you from ASAP Rocky in the black community?
You gonna do this to me? We did not talk about this in show prep. You bring it.
Listen, no, I mean, there's twists and turns. There's twists and turns on the show.
in any conversation, in any context, in any comparison, Donald Trump, anything Donald Trump does will constantly and always be worse than anything Hillary Clinton could ever even fathom of doing. You know, I honestly, you know, I do believe, you know, all politicians, let's be honest, you know, when you're trying to go after votes for from certain communities, you know, you're going to do certain things. You're going to show up at certain places. You're going to say certain things that you may not normally say, you know, in regular context. Mm-hmm. You know, Hillary is married to a man from Arkansas. You know, I think that's where Bill's from. So,
yeah,
you know,
Arkansas, yeah.
It is quite possible. Arkansas is quite country. So it is quite possible that she does actually
have hot sauce in her bag.
Take the hot sauce every now and then.
But is it in her bag?
However, listen. I don't know. But having hot sauce in your bag, or allegedly having hot sauce in your bag, will never equate to, you know, being a sitting president and attempting to influence the judicial system in a completely different country, trying to bully them to quote unquote release someone, not because you're actually concerned about mass incarceration or the conditions of prisons across the country, across the world rather, or you know, the actual plight of black male incarceration or black men in general.
Yeah.
You are clearly just attempting to, you know, garner votes and, you know, acting like you actually care about this guy.
Well, he wanted to release ASAP Rocky. ASAP is what he put in a tweet. Well, I think it was one of the tweets.
He's an asexual idiot. he really thinks that, you know, an emperor, and like, you know, whatever he says, like, everyone just has to do. Like, you're not a dictator. I think yesterday he made some sort of decree where, like, he's like, I hereby order, you know, American companies to. I don't want to mess it up, but I know that he said something yesterday where he was like, I hereby order American companies to find alternatives to manufacturing in China. I think that's what.
Oh, yeah, because he definitely, like, he added another tariff or whatever to, yeah, you know, to China, to Chinese imports.
Who would hereby order anybody to do anything? And how are you as a sitting president trying to influence private industry? Like, we could go on and on about.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that has to be a separate show, because there's definitely, I mean, between that and then his pressure to the Israelis to ban or to, you know, forbid the two congresswomen from going into, I think, was it Omar and Rashida, members of the squad from going into Israel. But that's a whole different story. But yes. Okay. So that's our big up. So now, who is our womp womp of the week? All right. So it is now time for the womp womp of the week. And with respect to this week, I think both you and I, Paul, have basically the same womp womp in mind, right?
Pretty much. Womp wampish than this.
Yeah. So for those of you who have been living, I don't know, under a rock this last, I guess, really 2 weeks, to be honest, the Amazon has been on fire, because I think it currently still is on fire, although I did see reports today that it's raining in the rainforest now, so maybe that's starting to put out some of the fires. But pretty much the Amazon, that at least the portion of the Amazon that's situated in Brazil, has been on fire, I think, since like about maybe August 14th, and it's been going crazy, like not like, you know, a little brush fire, but like it's been on fire. And so it's interesting because I haven't seen real news coverage over it like the way that I would expect. And so, yeah, you know, the reason that I was considering this to be like the womp womp, the media to be the womp womp of the week, is because of their lack of coverage of you know, the Amazon is on fire. And just a couple of quick facts about the Amazon, because some people are not really familiar or really sure what exactly, you know, they know what the Amazon jungle is, but they don't really understand its importance.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people when it was reported that Amazon was on fire. I saw a lot of people were concerned. They thought it was talking about like Amazon Prime.
Yeah, no. they had packages. They had packages that they were concerned.
Like, my package is not going to get here on time.
Oh my gosh! No. Yeah, you know, and even those who are like, okay, we know there's an Amazon jungle. They don't understand like the magnitude of these fires and like what it actually means for planet Earth.
It's a crisis. It's an international crisis for sure.
Yeah. And so with the Amazon, it actually stretches over like 8 countries. So it's not just in Brazil. Like it stretches over about 8 countries situated in, you know, South America.
I had no idea. I didn't even know that myself. Wow.
Yeah, I had to do some research because I was like, okay, let's, you know, what's going on here? So basically, yeah, it spans over about 8 countries. 40% of it, I believe, is in South America. So I guess the other portions of it would stretch over Central America. And there's actually over 30 million people who live in the Amazon.
Yeah.
And it's one of the world's largest rainforests. And I think what's more so important and why this international crisis is truly a crisis is that about 20% of our planet's oxygen comes from the Amazon, which is why they call it the lungs of the earth.
Yeah. Our lungs are literally on fire right now.
Literally.
Like, this is pretty much like the world has lung cancer right now. This is absolutely insane. Yeah. It's crazy.
And I've seen even comments like, you know, with, you know, people saying, you know, the earth's lungs are on fire and nobody cares. And that's kind of how I felt, because I fell on the Amazon thing by accident. It wasn't because I saw such news coverage. I think somebody posted something on Facebook and I was like, what is this? And brushed it off for like several days until I saw more people posting about it.
Yeah. It was funny because when you were saying, like, you know, unless you've been living under a rock for like the last couple of weeks, and I was like, well, I had no idea, you know, like you said, the media really was not making this a priority. You know, every day we turn on the news and we can see, you know, hot takes and clips from, you know, things that our president is saying, you know, but, you know, we definitely were not getting the proper coverage, you know, of the Amazon burning. And I would think that would take precedent over like a lot of things, but it's definitely crazy.
Yeah. And what's, you know, in terms of like, you know, more factoids about the situation. Mm-hmm. So apparently, you know, fires are not uncommon to the Amazon. And apparently this year, I think there's been a 10% increase or 8% increase in the amount of fires. But this year alone so far, there's been 74,155 fires in the Amazon, and a lot of it is due to farmers clearing land. And so that's how they believe this, you know, massive fire took place, was, you know, there were farmers that were clearing land and it ended up spreading out of control. But
my assumption is that, were they clearing the land to use for like commercial use and things of that nature, or
probably because there's been a lot of deforestation. I mean, deforestation is just not akin to the Amazon. It's going on all over, you know, the world. And so for me, like, what made this very womp-wompish for me is that you remember when the Notre Dame burnt down or was burning the cathedral in Paris?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a public outcry.
Oh my gosh. Like, celebrities were like on TV asking people to like donate money. People were literally donating those who were donating like millions of dollars. Celebrities were, you know, donating millions of dollars to rebuild this, you know, wonder of the world. There was back-to-back, there was minute-to-minute, you know, coverage of the fire in Notre Dame. And I'm just sitting here like, there are over 300 million people living in the Amazon. And you're seeing like small, like, you know, clips of footage of people, like, with the fire in the background. Yes. And I'm like, that did not, you know.
People who are, like, indigenous to the to the Amazon, to the area.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one cares about indigenous people. I think we can all agree to that. No one cares about, you know, indigenous people anywhere across the world. So,
but you would think that, I mean, and good point there. I think it's very clear that people, you know, that the world doesn't really care about indigenous people, black people, people of color, anybody who's not white. But I think that for me, you know, one thing that white people do care about, even if it's not, you know, black people or whatever, people of color, is, you know, the ecosystem, mm-hmm. and the environment and all things, you know, all things ecosystem, all things, you know, environmental, all things, you know, air quality or whatever the case is. So with the Amazon being 20% of the planet, you know, source of oxygen, I would think that if not at least for the people living within the Amazon, just for the whole, you know, environmental focus, ecosystem focus or whatever, that I would at least see more coverage because of that, you know, on that basis. But even with that, it's not.
Yeah. But the issue is when issues of environment, environmental issues rather, and climate change, you know, jut up against capitalism and greed and money. You know, if for some reason it always seems like greed, power, and money always take precedent over, you know, almost anything, especially climate change. Like, you know, we're seeing the effects of climate change all over the world. What was it? And was it Iceland or Greenland? I believe it was Greenland. Like, I think like some of the glaciers, like there's like an issue going on now with like the water is like the ice is like melting or something.
Yes, the ice caps, yeah.
Ice caps are melting like at an increased rate. Apparently, this the ice caps melting wasn't supposed to happen until like 2070, and apparently it's already starting to happen. So I mean, we've been seeing, and even like with the heat waves and the ups and downs of our weather, you know, it's very evident that the signs of, you know, the impact of you know, climate change are very real, very apparent. But a lot of people ignore you know, those things, ignore science for the sake of money and for the sake of greed. And from what I understand, there are a lot of people, especially in the people who are indigenous or people who, you know, who live in the Amazon, a lot of them are claiming that this fire, they believe the fires were possibly started as some sort of, like you said, deforestation effort, mm-hmm. To clear land for commercial use. So it's like, you know, yeah, this is, like you said, it's 20% of the world's oxygen. But people aren't thinking about that when they're looking to make a dollar. And, you know, I'm just very afraid that, you know, we're going to end up, you know, ruining, you know, this planet and ruining our climate and sacrificing, you know, our own lives, you know, for the sake of a dollar. But that's just the world that we live in. It's really scary. It's really sad. And some, you know, I think with money is like, you know, I understand the necessity for it, you know, but you have to know how to not allow money to just rule, you know, your every move, you know?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who don't adhere to that.
Yeah, I think it's just, for me, it's very disappointing. And again, you know, I can't expect so much more from our media. I mean, we've seen how the media has definitely, you know, what they're about, you know, in terms of a lot of the issues that we've been experiencing over the last couple of years. But I just found that this was very, very disturbing because if you were to just rely on, you know, the media to let you know, I guess, the level of severity of issues in this world, you would really think that this Amazon crisis was really, one, not a crisis, and that it was just maybe a patch of land that, you know, just caught on fire and that was that. Like, it's not until I really went down the rabbit hole and I was looking at videos and I was doing more research, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is a serious, serious, you know, situation. It is an international crisis even, which should be like, you know, level 10 on the spectrum. But you would really think that it's like, it was just a little brush fire that took place. I mean, we have the homes in California. I know every time, you know, there's a fire about to touch Oprah Winfrey's house or some celebrities, you know, district. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's just really baffling. I mean, baffling might be the wrong word because I'm not necessarily shocked about it. It's just disheartening and it's just disappointing that, you know, we get reminded again as people of color our worth in this world.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. And, you know, I can't, there's nothing else that I can really add to that because... Yeah, I'm like you. I'm disappointed, but I'm not baffled. You know, like I this is just the way that the world works. You know, yeah. we prioritize things that don't deserve the priority and don't deserve our attention. But I really hope that something, you know, something happens or there's some sort of intervention or something to help, you know, put this fire to rest because it's you know, it's going to be really detrimental to our ecosystem and detrimental to the world if we don't figure out how to get this under control.
No, of course.
So
that's our womp womp of the week. The womp womp goes to the media, even CNN, like, you know, who tends to be a little more on the progressive end and attempts to, I guess, you know, I don't know, be the champion of the others all over the world, but I don't know.
Everybody's out here for ratings. Everybody's out here for a click. Everybody's out here for, you know, whatever salacious, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of times, you know, issues involving the environment are not as salacious as, you know, a leader saying something crazy or, you know, a celebrity getting into, you know, a feud or something, you know, something trivial, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. The irresponsible journalism, irresponsible reporting is it's the new normal. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the, you know, journalistic integrity is no longer a thing anymore. It's a thing of the past, it seems like. Just like, yeah. You know, the weather predictions, you know, sometimes I'm just like, man, I should have just went into journalism or meteorology because you don't have to be accurate. You don't have to really care about what you do. There's no integrity, you know.
Anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah. So moving on to some lighter things. So before we get into, one of the main topics of today, which is, you know, the Popeye's Chick-fil-A wars. Have you heard that?
No.
I said
there's no war there. There's a clear winner.
Okay, so I'm actually curious to know who the winner is on your end. So we're definitely going to get into that. But have you been abreast of this hot nerd fall situation? You know, we're moving. We, on our last show together, which was a couple of weeks together, a couple of weeks ago, we had talked about hot girl summer, hot boy summer. We shared a little bit about our hot girl, hot boy ventures for, you know, over the summer. But, you know, now we are clearly moving into fall.
Yeah. And Megan wants you all to move into hot nerd.
She declared it. So there was an Access Hollywood interview that took place, I don't know if it was a week or two ago, where she was just talking about, you know, her music and how, you know, she was asked questions about Hot Girl Summer and, you know, what does that mean? And she was going in detail and describing what that was. But then she was also asked, you know, since summer is pretty much over, we're moving out of Hot Girl Summer, like, or is there going to be like a Hot Girl Fall or whatever? And so that's when Megan declared, as a lot of the bloggers have, you know, put out there, she has officially decreed that fall is hot nerd fall, since Megan, you know, unlike some of these other rappers, female rappers out here, she is currently in, you know, enrolled in a institution, in a university, I think Texas Southern University, where I think she's going to be a junior. So she's actually out here getting her education on while rapping and twerking, you know, between breaks. And so I get...
Jacqueline of all three.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. So she said that this is hot nerd fall. So I'm assuming she's takes her education seriously. And so she's now, you know, encouraging not just young women, but I guess young people or people in general that, listen, fall is time to get down to business, whether it be, I guess, with school or with work or projects or whatever. Summertime was there to have fun. Now let's get focused. I mean, what's your opinion on that?
No, I mean, I am a big fan. I said this the last time I was on the show. I'm a big fan of Megan. I'm a big fan of the Hot Girl Summer Movement. You know, like I said, we as men have, like, you know, we have our fun year round. So, you know, if you girls, you ladies rather want to, you know, you guys took this summer to really, you know, promote yourselves and hype yourselves up and give each other like self-esteem and motivation. Hey, that's what it's supposed to be about. And something I like about Megan, I like the fact that she, you know, she, there's a lot of competition in the world. Women are often pitted against one another. And, you know, she really seems to have taken up the mantle of attempting to be like that woman, especially Black woman out here in the entertainment industry that is trying to like pretty much squash that stereotype. Like, you know, I saw her recently she's doing like Instagram videos with Lizzo. What is the woman's name, the young girl's name, Jordan? You know, the one who had the beef with the Kardashians.
Yes, Jordan Woods.
Jordan Woods, yes, another Black icon in the making, in my opinion. You know, and she has a song out now with Nicki.
Yes, I did see that. There was a little Instagram like promo thing together. Apparently, I think she did talk about that in the Access Hollywood thing too. But I actually did see the Instagram. You know, I guess I don't know if it was Instagram stories thing that they shared together, whatever, you know, however you could put videos together on Instagram. It was like a live, they split a screen, and apparently the same night, Nicki actually spit her verse, you know, for the collab that they did. And I was like, all right.
Did you hear the song?
I heard what they put out on, you know, social media. I didn't actually get to hear the full you know, clip.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty certain. Yeah, they released it like to iTunes and, you know, streaming services. I think it's at like number 11 right now in the chart, so it's doing like pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes to show, like, you know, what the power of, you know, women, all women, but you know, most pertinently Black women, you know, working together can do. You know, I'm pretty certain this is like one of the first songs of one of very few songs by two Black women rappers that's charted that high. So, you know, so I'm all about, like, you know, taking that mindset, moving from the Hot Girl Summer, which, you know, was kind of about, like, you know, embracing who you are, embracing your body, being out here, enjoying yourself in the summertime, not really caring about people's opinions about, you know, your body and your sexuality and things of that nature. And now it's like, all right, let's promote that. Let's promote our minds. Let's promote our intelligence. You know, we're moving into hot nerd fall. You know, let's show them girls can do anything. Let's show them that women are smart. You know, it, like I said before, I was joking around, called her Jacqueline of all trades, but, you know, it's the truth. Like, all women, you know, possess that ability to be, you know, go out, have fun, be confident, you know, in your body. That doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have anything, you know, in your head or that you're not an intelligent person. So I think that that's what she's trying to do. That's what I think. I think that she's trying to show, you know, the duality that can exist in women. Like, just because you know, embrace your sexuality and embrace your femininity doesn't mean that, you know, you aren't also, you know, intelligent or, you know, savvy. So, you know, I'm all about it. And I've seen a lot of women who, you know, you also touched on this, who feel like they couldn't necessarily identify, you know, like with the Hot Girl Summer or relate to it. Because y'all have, as you said, your knees aren't strong enough.
My knees are not strong enough, but you know what? I feel like I'm going to have to start doing, because she, in the same Access Hollywood interview, somebody had asked her, I guess whoever the interviewer was, asked her about like the knees. Like, how were your knees so strong? Because that's the question everybody's asking themselves, you know? And she was talking about, I think, eating greens and taking vitamin supplements. And I'm like, I'm going to need Megan to, you know, share that
grandma,
recipe.
No, my grandma ate greens all her life, and you know what? I didn't know my grandma back in the day, but I would assume her knees wasn't that strong. I don't know.
Because did you see the meme though, or I think it was the Shade Room that posted, I think one of Mary J. Blige, you know, your favorite singers, one of her recent appearances where she was giving us all Megan Thee Stallion. She like did 5 jumps and landed on her knees, and they were actually calling her Mary Thee Stallion.
That's hot Auntie Summer. Everybody's auntie. But Mary's been having a strong knees with the thigh boots, with the high boots. She's for years.
And I'm wondering, I'm like, is it the thigh boots that you know, is it the hype? Because, you know, Mary is always hype. Like, you know, say what you want about her voice, whatever. But her hype has always been there. I'm wondering, like, is she popping Molly before she's going on this stage? Like, is that where she has that energy to, like, you know, kick and do all that shit with her knees?
We're not going to start spreading rumors about Auntie Mary.
First of all, from what I understand, you're not even a big fan of Mary and her voice. From what? Because I be following you on social media. I know who you like and who you don't like.
I am a fan of Mary J. Blige. She is the queen of hip-hop soul. However, I did, you know, she just got the BET Lifetime Achievement Award at the BET Awards. And I'm not a liar, you know what I mean? Like, did her voice, was she a little shaky? Yeah. Did she sound like a bag of nickels in a dryer?
Oh my gosh.
But that's still Mary J. Blige. You still respect
it's
it.
Still, I'm not gonna it's, lie. Still, it's still Mary J. Blige, but I'm saying.
Yes, but I'm not going to allow you to say that Mary was popping Molly. You know, Mary's coming along.
But is there something wrong? I mean, if she's popping Molly, that's the secret right there. You're assuming that I have a thing against people who pop Molly, or that I'm saying that popping Molly is actually a bad thing. If that's what you need to get on stage to get hype, you got to do what you got to do. Because I'm just wondering, at this age, how is Mary jumping up in the air, landing on her knees 5 times? Like, you have to ask these questions.
If you go back in the history, if you go back in the discography, if you go back in the videography, and you look at the history of Mary's earliest videos, Mary was always out here in the biking shorts. And what does she have on her knees? Knee pads.
So maybe that's what, but I'm saying, I understand the history of Mary. What I'm saying is, at the end of the day, bodies do wear and tear as we age. And Mary is not a spring chicken, which is why she graduated to Auntie Mary, as opposed to, you know, just Mary. So my question still remains. You know, yes, back in the day when she was young and agile, because she could, you know, do kung fu karate.
She was taking preventative measures.
Since she was, I see.
Unlike y'all lazy black asses, y'all just out here popping unprotected.
We're dropping it like it's hot without knee pads.
Well, y'all got water on the knees and shit, and Charlie horses at 35 y'all wasn't going like that. Don't blame Mary. Don't throw out there that she was out here doing the Mollies.
But I'm saying though, if she was, I have like, see, I don't know. You seem to have an issue with people who take Molly, is what it sounds like to me.
People take Molly. I just feel that Mary has come a long way, especially like with you know, the allegations and things of that nature, like drug use in her past. And I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you sully the name of the reigning queen of hip hop.
I hear you, Paul, but you know, I'm side-eyeing you real hard right now because I know your take on Mary J. Blige. But I'm gonna let you slide today because I feel like if I keep going on this path with you, I'm gonna just have to print out the receipts and release them slowly and but surely to the general public, to the According to RP fans.
I love and respect Mary. Is Mary's voice a little shaky at times?
Oh, gosh. Whatever. We're done with Mary. Either way, I'm all here for Hot Nerd Fall.
I'm all here for Hot Nerd Fall.
I feel like a lot of people have adapted that mentality, though. So although Megan is declaring it, you know, there always has to be a spokesperson behind it. But I feel like that's usually the trend. Summertime people, you know, even in our professional work environments, there's summer Fridays in some institutions. Friday's a little laid back. Summer's a little laid back. But once the fall hits, it's like full speed ahead.
Yeah, you got to get down. You got to, you know, prepare yourself for the next quarter and everything.
Exactly. So,
with the hot nerd, Paul?
Huh?
Do you feel like you can identify more so with the hot nerd, Paul?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely a hot nerd fall girl. Like, that's always been my mantra, even before Megan was coming out with what she was saying. I was always, you know, a little more relaxed in the summer. And then once fall came, I was like, I was, you know, scheduled. I wasn't hanging out as much because in the fall, I have a lot of friends you know, that their birthday season starts kicking off in August. And in order to protect my pockets, like, I start to have to you know, hibernate and decline invitations, or else my ass would be broke. So for the longest time, once fall came, like, I, you know, it's cold outside, I'm not trying to be out in these streets, I stay home, I, you know, put my plans together, and I just work, or I, you know, watch Netflix or whatever the hell. So I'm definitely a hot nerd fall girl, more so than a hot girl summer type of girl. So
okay, yeah, all right. So this is your season, then. Get ready.
This is my season. I've been ready. So so before we get into the, because I know I keep delaying this Popeyes Chick-fil-A thing, but I feel like I needed to make this commentary. I was trying, you know, every time, every week for the last, I think, 2-3 weeks since this thing has been going on in the media, I wanted to comment on it, but I've kind of found myself, like, either forgetting to comment on it. But we had talked about this a little bit offline, the whole Equinox Soul Cycle ban that was going on a couple of weeks ago when it was learned that the owners, or one of the owners or whatever, of Equinox and Soul Cycle were getting ready to put together a fundraiser for Donald Trump in the Hamptons. And so at least my social media was going off. First of all, I didn't even know half of these people that I was associated with was able to afford Equinox memberships. I didn't know, because I mean, Equinox, even the people who have the money, they're like, yo, Equinox, like, it's not even $100 a month for the membership. It's like $200.
Yeah, it's almost $300.
Yeah, it's $200 for a gym membership.
I've never even played myself to even, like, try to figure out how much it costs. I already know I ain't got it.
So yeah.
It's
an out for me. I know a couple of people who have them. From what I understand, it's about, like, it is around that 300 mark. And if you have, like, a whole family plan, then you're paying much more than that, obviously. Because some of them are couples that have the Equinox membership. So it's probably easy, like, a good $600-$700 a month. So when I, you know, so never. But when I heard, like, you know, the whole, because, you know, social media, again, this is, like, my problem with, like, the media. Like, this was the coverage. The fact that Equinox and, you know, the owners of Equinox and SoulCycle were, you know, putting together a fundraiser. And so people now were, like, you know, canceling, yet celebrities canceling Equinox memberships. And so my social media was filled with people talking about going to New York Sports Club, going to, I don't know, Orange Theory or whatever equivalent there was because of that.
Yeah.
But what I wasn't seeing from the many people who I saw that were on social media championing this Equinox Soul Cycle, not one of them talked about canceling their Blink membership.
No, don't do that.
What do you mean don't do that? Blink is owned by Equinox. But same people, it's a subsidiary of Equinox. And the thing is, why I was even more alarmed by is because people were telling me, like, that's how I first found out, because people, you know, because there's Planet Fitness, there's Blink, there's the lower end of New York Sports Club or whatever, but people were like, no, I go to Blink. Blink is actually owned by Equinox. So, like, the Black people were very proud to say that they were not members at Planet Fitness, but they were members at Blink, and that Blink was, you know, a child of Equinox. So when all of this was going down, nobody was talking about getting rid of the Blink membership.
Have you ever been inside of a Blink?
I'm not a member per se, but I am a member because, you know, you have the buddy pass things. So I've worked out in several Blinks.
Yeah. I'm a New York Sports Club member, but Blink. I used to be a Blink member. Blink is for what, like, that $20 or $40 for their passport a month. Like, it's affordable. I understand. I understand why people are canceled. I know what you mean. Like, you know, it's really ridiculous that, like, you know, this person. And when you think about gyms, especially like a gym like, you know, Equinox, or what have you, like, those companies are, you know, gyms are really, like, LGBTQ friendly and things of that nature, mm-hmm. too. And, you know, you're supporting a president who clearly has you know, absolutely no interest in preserving that community's rights or any other community outside of, you know, his own, which is, you know, the business community's rights. But, you know, it just didn't come as a shock to me that a rich, you know, white man, a millionaire, a billionaire, because that man is filthy, stinking rich mm-hmm. on top of it. You know, it didn't come as a shock to me that, like, you know, a someone of that, you know, financial status would be a Donald Trump supporter. You know, and it really sucks that, you know, we would have to, like, boycott and cancel, like, memberships to almost every damn place or every damn thing in the world, even like Walmart. Like, I'm pretty certain the Walton family contributes to Trump. You know
of
what
course.
I mean?
Or, you know,
but it's, so it's almost like, hell, you'd have to boycott every damn thing, you know, if you want to get away from rich, greedy, things that are owned by rich, greedy white men who probably support, you know, a rich, greedy president.
But for me, my issue is not even about, like, the cancel culture when it comes to that. Because you're right. I feel like every other week, I forgot what it was the other day that they said, CVS. They were saying, you know, the owner of CVS, you know, contribute to Donald Trump's campaign. And so I was waiting to see who was going to throw up boycott CVS, because that's just what our culture does. But I think the reason for me it was a little bit alarming, the whole with the Equinox and then, you know, and nobody saying anything about Blink, is because it's one thing, like, okay, yes, I totally agree with your point that we, at some point we're just not going to eat or leave the house if we're going to cancel everything that, you know, supports this man. But it's the level of, I guess, outrage and, like, I don't know, fandom that takes place, where it's like, I see your energy, but it's not equal. Like, you can't pick and choose. Like, if you're going to have an issue and say, you know, you're not supporting Equinox and SoulCycle because they are, you know, they are supporting Trump, then you also are going to have to say, within that same round, that I am not going to support Blink because of the same fundraiser that the same people who own Equinox and SoulCycle are throwing. The Blink owners are part of all of this, and so I'm not supporting any of that. It's the picking and choosing of, like, and especially in this particular case, because we're talking about these, everybody was focused on the two. But the third one was mm-hmm. there, and I feel like it's because people are just like, man, shit, I can't. I'm not about to say nothing about Blink because I need my Blink. And I think that that's the part for me. It's like just don't say, like, if you can't pick and choose, in my opinion at least, you can't pick and choose within the same conglomerate and be like, go hard against this, and, you know, I'm anti this, anti that, and make a whole big stink on social media. I'm canceling my membership as we speak. And then, like, a whole other group is not even being discussed. Like, you, it's to the point where it's like, I haven't heard, still to this day, not one person. The same people who are going hard about Equinox, not one of them. And I know that they know that Equinox is the owner of Blink, because that's how I
found out. That was going to be my next question. It was like, well, maybe a lot of people don't know.
Some people don't know. And I, that part I can say that I get. But that also, but the people that I'm, the ones that I'm talking about, people who actually know, because that's how I found out. I didn't know that Blink, off the top of my head, was owned by Equinox. Like, I was told by people who own it, and those are the same people. But I think the other thing, too, is that it's also about, like, the level of research that we're not doing. It's like the people who repost fake news, and then you have, like, everybody is commenting.
You know, we do not do research anymore.
We people don't
go to social media and take everything at a cursory level. For instance, like, even with not to jump around, but like with Justice Ginsburg having her the tumors removed. I guess she had mm-hmm. a pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
And so everyone is like sharing the post, like, oh my gosh, the world's gonna get it. Oh my gosh, you know, Ginsburg is dying. And it's like, no, if you read the article, like, the tumors were removed, like, she is cancer free. I know this is like the third or fourth time that we've had like this scare, and I understand the fear, but it's like, instead of, you know, inciting all this fear and riots and all this kind of stuff and, you know, pandemonium, read the article, you know.
Yeah.
Do your research. You just share things blindly, and that's how social media has been able to influence us in such a way. But like, to go back to the Blink issue, you know, I think that this and you kind of touched on this too, but like that's the danger of the cancel culture that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're canceling everything without doing the proper research. You know, like you said, like Blink is certainly affiliated with Equinox, you know, but you can't cancel everything, you know, especially if you're not doing the appropriate research. And if you're going to say that you're going to cancel one thing, then you have to cancel, like you said, I guess you would have to cancel it all. And I think that's why it's important to not necessarily jump to quote unquote cancel until you actually do, or to even form an opinion or come to a stance on issues until you've done the proper research to know exactly what you're talking about. But that's exactly. Not something that a lot of people are willing to do.
yeah, and unfortunately so. But I just thought that I'm like, wow, not one person's gonna talk about their Blink membership, huh? No? Okay, no problem. And it's crazy, and I think that's what kind of like, I don't know, it doesn't lend credibility to movements and causes anymore, because I don't hear nobody talking about Equinox and SoulCycle or anything like that anymore. I mean, the fundraiser came and went or whatever, and I don't know if it happened yet. I don't know if it was scheduled for September or whatever, but either way, nobody's talking about it anymore. And I'm pretty sure people are either back to their, you know, because Equinox is not stupid either. You know, they have their 45-day cancellation period. So a lot of people are probably still just continuing their gym membership, or are just like, all right, whatever, this was last week's news, back to regularly scheduled programming. And it's like, it's a little disheartening when we're talking about movements and causes, which is why I think a lot of people, young people, are not so motivated anymore to really move forward sometimes with and actually see things through, because there's no real, guideline. There's no real, you know, end goal to it. And there's no role model ship, in a sense, if that makes sense, you know, for those of us, because it's people our age, like that's doing this, you know, foolishness. And it's just like, this is crazy to me. But I feel like, you know, I've been trying to like get this off my chest for the last couple of weeks. So I was like, I'm going to do it today. So that was my rant, I guess, with this Equinox SoulCycle /Blink business.
And not to prolong it, but I will say that just from what I've seen, like on social media, I cannot think of the guy's name. And this is why I'm not a journalist, because I don't have time to do all this fact check. But whoever the guy is, the owner or whatever, whoever he is, apparently he's not that involved with like the day-to-day operations.
Yeah, yeah.
And people in the actual like SoulCycle locations and the Equinox locations, certainly have been pretty accommodating and trying to make amends, you know, with their customers and with their clientele, and, you know, trying to get in front of it to let them know that, you know, his views, like, yeah, you know, the money is definitely coming from him, and the money that people are paying their memberships definitely makes him, is what is playing a part in him being a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they're trying to, like, you know, get in front of it to show that, you know, the people who are actually involved in the day-to-day operations in those places don't necessarily, you know, adhere to his political beliefs. But at the end of the day, that money is still making him money, and it's now making the Trump campaign efforts money. So I understand the outrage and the backlash. And, you know, I can't really, like we said before, I can't really boycott, you know, Equinox, because I can't afford it, just like I couldn't boycott H&M because I can't fit anything in there. But I certainly understand, you know, what the outrage is.
Yeah.
How it pans out.
Yeah, it definitely does. But, you know, it is what it is with that. But I wanted to, so this was the conversation that, you know, we had been texting about, and I've been sending you all sorts of like memes and stuff off of Instagram, the Chick-fil-A and Popeyes fiasco. I mean, I'm calling it a fiasco.
I didn't need to do any background or fact checking. I know about chicken, so let's have this conversation.
So before we move forward, though, with this conversation, what is your whole, like, between the chicken? So I'm assuming you've had both the Popeye's chicken sandwich and the Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Now you're fat shaming, because why do you automatically assume that I have had...
Because when you came on the show the last time, you made sure to let us know that you were black. You made sure to stress that you were black. And so with that being said, sir,
I am assuming that you've had both sandwiches.
Okay. I may or may not have had the Popeye sandwich a couple of times. The last couple of weeks, I may or may not have gone to Chick-fil-A to do a taste test comparison. But let's say if I had done that, I would say that Popeye's was 100% the winner. That shit is amazing. It's really good. Okay. Not the regular one. The spicy one, though. Mm-hmm. The spicy one is definitely, like, it's pretty damn good.
So here's the question I have for you on that. Because, you know, I have shared this a couple of times, you know, on the show. I have not had meat since February of 2019. So it's been several months since I've had any chicken, beef, you know, any type of the meat. I've had a little fish here and there, but I haven't had any meat. And that was not because I was trying to be on a trend. It's because I, you know, started the Daniel's fast. And for whatever reason, the taste of meat kind of like escaped me. And I have not. I anticipate getting back to it. It just hasn't happened yet. So I'm not forcing myself either. However, with all that being said, I am a chicken connoisseur, whether I've, you know, okay. You know, like that's just my thing. Fried chicken, whatever type of chicken. I am a chicken connoisseur. And I have been eating Popeye's chicken sandwiches. Chicken before. Yes, exactly. You know, we've been out to eat before, so you already know. I have eaten the Popeye. I know the entire Popeye's menu. I mean, all that's chicken at least, because I don't eat the shrimps and stuff. But
yeah,
I could recall for me that there was a spicy chicken sandwich already on the menu from years ago.
I saw that. I don't remember there ever being a sandwich on the menu. I never recall there being a sandwich on the menu.
I recall, I mean, maybe, I don't know, but I can recall, or maybe it was one of those limited time, maybe they were testing it out. Because, you know, I got Popeyes on both sides of the block. So I, you know, right. I'd be at Popeyes. So,
right.
Yeah. So I don't know if maybe the time that I had the Popeye's chicken sandwich, that it was a limited, because, you know, these restaurants love to do this limited edition where they try to like test things out before they put them on the market or whatever. Because when I saw all this hype, I'm like, I don't understand. Like the Popeye's chicken sandwich is not a new thing. But then I had to do some research because I do, you know, As when I was a kid, I was into journalism, and I don't understand how I did not get into journalism as an adult, but whatever. I did a little fact checking, and I went to a CNBC article that gave me a little bit of fact, you know, a little bit of the tea and some factoids, right? So apparently how this whole, because I was wondering, how did this whole Popeyes and Chick-fil-A thing become a thing? Like, why is this all I'm hearing about? Why is this all I'm seeing? Like, what is up with that? So apparently, Monday, I guess this past Monday, Popeyes and Chick-fil-A were having some sort of like Twitter war, some sort of like Twitter fight about their sandwiches, right?
Real ghetto. They're being real ghetto on the internet.
Exactly. And so Popeyes apparently, no, I think it was it Popeyes or Chick-fil-A that had, damn it, I had this whole like article thingy already out. But basically, long story short, we already know. They were getting ghetto, like you said, on Twitter. And so Chick-fil-A posted something about like chicken plus bun plus pickle or whatever equals love or whatever. And then you had freaking Popeyes comment, y'all good?
I want to know what nigga from the block they have working on Popeyes.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, y'all good. Like that was the response that apparently sparked the Twitter fire. And that's what caused Popeyes then to end up gaining so many like followers. They ended up gaining like a ton of followers. I think more followers maybe than Chick-fil-A. But then, you know, CNBC article tries to get it, you know, down to the numbers. And they were like, listen, although Popeyes did gain a lot of popularity and they gained a lot of followers from this, Chick-fil-A has always been the king of chicken sales in this country. And so they're saying, yeah, you have some followers, but it's all about the money. And Chick-fil-A still reigns in terms of chicken sales, in terms of the chicken sandwich. So it's still making more money. I think Chick-fil-A made like $5.7 million in revenue last year, as opposed to Popeyes that made $1.7 million.
So it's a very big difference between the two when we're talking about the money. But now I'm trying to bring it back to the community and why the community is really on, like, how this has taken over my timeline and essentially my life.
Because it's chicken. It is so funny. I think we talked about this on the last episode too, when you talk about, you know, the Black community and Black consumerism and how we really are a driving force, you know, in this country. Like, even Popeye's response to Chick-fil-A, you know, with the whole "you good," like, that is a Black African, it's an African American community, like, saying or phrase. Like, "you good" can mean so many things. Like, "you good," like, "you want to fight," "you good," like, "you all right," "you good," like, "all right, you all right, get out my face," like, "we're cool," you know what I mean? Like, that is a Black thing. So the fact that they even use that saying to promote, you know, the sandwich, or, you know, to engage in this beef, you know, to me was like a direct, like, you know, call a dog, whatever you want to say, to, you know, Black people. They know who their audience is. They know who their market is. And then, obviously, you know, Black Twitter came, took it over. I think that Black Twitter, by promoting, like, this sandwich and, you know, the retweets and the memes and everything, I think they pretty much gave, when I read, they gave Popeye's approximately $24 million in free advertising for this sandwich, like, over the week. You know, so it's just interesting and amazing to me, you know, the power that, you know, Black voices, you know, and Black people in general have in this country, and I guess the world too, as far as, you know, consumerism is concerned. So, you know, I think that that's why, you know, our community is so invested in it. Furthermore, Popeye's is like an institution. You know, like, Popeye's chicken is amazing. I know when I was growing up, both Popeye's and Chick-fil-A were considered like a luxury. Like, my mom wasn't, we were not going out every night eating. Like, my mom was like, "you got chicken at home," you know?
Girl,
and she would break out the cast iron.
We had rice and beans.
Or whatever. get to frying or whatever. So, like, you know, Popeye, I think that, you know, Popeye's and Chick-fil-A have always been, like, you know, the dueling, you know, reigning, or the competing kings of chicken outside of the chicken that your mom makes or whatever. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that's why we're so invested in it.
And I get that, right? But I feel like at this point now, some of the commentary that I've been seeing now from, you know, like, I guess when we're really getting down to it, okay, we really, as a community, you know, basically made Popeye's and Chick-fil-A. I'm not sure if Popeye's is owned by white, like, you know, the core, like, owned by white people at its core. Probably so. I mean, I'm not 100% sure. I haven't seen Popeye's listed as a Black owned and operated business. I know there are chains and franchises that are, but I don't know if the Popeye's International is actually owned by Black people. But Chick-fil-A, we definitely know, is owned by white people. But, you know, a lot of the rhetoric was just that, you know, the Black people have come together and basically, you know, boosted sales and, you know, increased revenue for these two companies. I mean, you have people, you know, Popeye's workers taking to social media to talk about their frustrations as to, you know, the increase of job duties and hours because people are coming in looking for sandwiches. And you have regular people. Like, I think one of my friends the other day was complaining that she had to go to 3 Popeye's before she can go get a chicken sandwich.
Oh, yeah, no, that's sold out, like, everywhere. From what I understand, it's, like, you know, there's been, like, fights breaking out.
Literally, people are literally scrapping. It's Hunger Games in these streets over the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Now, I will say I haven't seen people scrapping at Chick-fil-A for the Chick-fil-A sandwich, although I do love the Chick-fil-A sandwich, but I haven't seen people scrapping, you know, and throwing stuff behind counters and you know, accosting workers for Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Chick-fil-A's customer service is so amazing. Like, they're never going to, like,
you would never let that happen.
Is Popeye's on that ass right now? Yeah, absolutely. Because, like I said before, that sandwich is really, really good. You know what I mean? But, like, it's no sweat. It's no sweat for them. They're not going to go anywhere. And while you were talking, I was Googling to see the founder of Popeye's. He is a white man.
Of course,
He's from Louisiana.
That's what I figured. I figured. Because I feel like if Popeye's owner was a black, if Papa was a black owned operated business, we would have been known that. Like, that would have just been something that we would have just known. Like, it wouldn't, we wouldn't even have to like think about it. You know what I mean? But it's, but some of the commentary that I've seen, you know, did make me think, you know, as somebody who is, you know, I, you know, I'm very honest about my endeavors, you know, a struggling entrepreneur in these streets, trying to see what I could do here. You know, it's hard to get like people to, in black people, especially to invest in, you know, their friends and family who are starting up businesses. But it's like, you know, and it's like little things like this though. Like, I guess I understand because we're talking about fandom, we're talking about hype, we're talking about follow the leader. But if black people were to, or people of color, people in general, whatever, were to invest in the, in, you know, the black entrepreneurs that are really, that the serious ones. I'm not just saying, you know, you want to open up a rinky-dink shop on the block and, you know, you're going to get support. But if we were really to, you know, to rally behind each other and support each other, the way that we can go and like make money and do Instagram posts and stories and taste test challenges and all this stuff, giving free advertisement to Popeyes and Chick-fil-A, if we were able to do that within our own community, within ourselves, I'm like, it would be an amazing thing. Like, we would have black millionaires, billionaires all over the place. It's crazy to me. You know, how it's like, yeah, you have to beg somebody to like, you know, support an event that you're doing. Or like, I have a friend right now who has an event, great project. And it's like, you know, people are not really picking up on it. And it's like, I don't know. It's sad to say, because black people, we are like the number one consumers in this society. But when it comes to our own businesses and our own, you know, projects and things within our own community, like, we do not see that level of support. Like, you would think that we're not.
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying. You know, and certainly, like, we as a community do need to do more to, you know, support one another and things like that. But I don't know. I think it's kind of unfair to, like, you know, to blame the lack of, you know, community support amongst one another on, you know, like this chicken gate or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like,
chicken gate.
You know, like, you know, people, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just because you're going out and you're, you know, you're enjoying this, I guess, the pandemonium around like the chicken war or whatever, it doesn't mean that, like, you know, that's the reason why people don't support, you know, other, you know, black people in business. And again, that's not to say that we don't need to do more, because we certainly do. I definitely agree with that. But just like, I'm not going to let you sully, you know, Mary J, I'm not going to let you sully the name of
Popeye. No, but it's not saying that because of the chicken thing, people are not. It's something that we see time and time again, though. It's not just the chicken thing. It's anything that, like, you know, whenever there is that pandemonium. So I'm not saying that Popeyes and Chick-fil-A are responsible for the, like, I'm talking about the mentality and the culture is what's responsible in a sense. It's not Popeyes that's responsible for it because they came out with this. But I think that we're so easy and we're so easily, you know, able to jump on these bandwagons and, like, you see the force. Because it's like, sometimes you think that, okay, there's a lack of support, lack of, you know, interest or whatever, because there's not a, like, we're not really organized, right? Or we're not really, we're not rallied and we're not, you know, I don't know, like, we're not really together with it, right? But then when you see little things, like a thing like a chicken sandwich war that started on Twitter, now it's like every, like, to see, like, the mobilization, I think that's the word I was looking for, the mobilization that has come from people of all walks of life, taking to, you know, social media, taking to whatever to be part of this, you know, like, it's, I think it's that type of mobilization, because some would say, like, especially maybe some of the, you know, outside groups, the non-black groups or whatever, non-groups of community color, would say that, well, the reason that, you know, there's a lack of support is because there's a lack of mobilization. Black people, you know, they don't really know how to support each other. They don't really know how to get together. I've heard things like that before. But when you see these little things like this blow up, and this is not, this, the chicken thing is not the first thing. There's been so many examples. And I think that's why people, you know, who are on the business side of things are frustrated, because it's like, it's not like we can't get together and support each other. it's just, you know, you just either don't want to, it's not of interest, and it's saddened because it makes you sad because it's like, man, like if we were to mobilize the way, you know, for each other in terms of supporting each other's businesses, whether it be hair, whether it be, you know, a cause, whatever, the way we mobilize and, you know, give free advertisement on for chicken, like if somebody were to, you know, this body butter, do a little commercial, whatever, like for the body butter that they just bought from their friend who makes body butters and it's a good quality body butter, to do a little, to take the time to make a 2-second clip or whatever, I feel like that would be amazing. It's not like people don't have the time to do it because they're making whole like 10-minute videos about which chicken sandwich tastes better. So I think that's where the frustration comes in.
So I'm gonna say two things. One, you know, you brought up like you know, hairstylists and, you know, things of that nature. I don't know one black woman or one black man in the world who isn't a Republican who goes to a stylist, you know, for their hair who isn't black. So,
well,
you know,
I do know people though who actually go to non-black people a lot to do
Latino.
No, but not even Latino. I know black people who actually go to white people to do their hair. The point for me is not even about, you know, the people going to other groups. I'm just saying that there's a lot of amazing talent within our community that actually have legit businesses, not the mom and pop Ray Ray and them's corner store or whatever, but have legit business plans, legit restaurants. So forget the hair part, but legit restaurants, legit, you know, gyms, legit whatever. And it's time and time again, the support is lacking in our community.
The second point that I wanted to make in reference to that is the fact that, like, you have to look at what, you know, sparked or enticed people to really, you know, make this like a big trending topic or whatever. Like, people follow trends. Like, you had like Popeyes and Chick-fil-A, which, you know, are two major corporations who already have, you know, massive followings on social media, you know, and they are the ones who, you know, started this beef. And so when you have more eyes on the beef, which essentially was a social media campaign, you know, when you have more eyes on the beef to begin with, it's easier for something to spread. And the reason why they're able to launch like these social media campaigns and things of that nature is because they have money. They have people, investors, they have people who are investing in them and who are enabling them to, you know, reach like large groups of people. And unfortunately, a lot of like our, you know, upstarts and our small black businesses and things of that nature, they just don't have the investors. They don't have the money to really, you know, invest in like these huge or these large like social media campaigns, you know, that would attract more eyes. I think that's where we have to start. Like, we have to figure out how we can get, you know, more money and more investors to take a look at, you know, at black businesses so that they can have the capital to, you know, engage in like these huge social media campaigns. Because, you know, as we all know, human beings, you know, African-American community, any community, but, you know, certainly we're going to catch on to a trend. And when we see someone else doing, we see more people doing it, we're going to be more enticed to wondering, hey, what's that about? What's going on with that? Or, you know, find out what it is, or, you know, engage in it. So I think that's where we have to start. It always goes back to the money. I think that if we want more people to, you know, promote these things, or, you know, promote businesses or things of that nature, I think that we have to figure out a way to get more people to invest, you know, I'm not even talking about customers. I'm talking about, like, you know, just investors in general, to invest in these businesses so that they can have the capital to, you know, launch these campaigns to get more eyes on their product.
And I totally hear that. I think that there is a lack of, well, I actually have an opinion on that too, but it is what it is. But money, yes, money definitely is what makes the world go round, and having more capital, you know, being disseminated within the community, I think would definitely help. But I still strongly believe that a lot of it has to do with the fact that there is a lack of support. And it's something that I think people see it. And I think it's the same thing. Like, when you have, like, one of my cousins, she had a event space, and it was a very beautiful event space. Like, but even within the family, you know, and I, you know, I, it's something that, that you see. Like, people are having events, but they're not necessarily supporting, you know, their own in a sense. They'd rather go give their money to, you know, another group or whatever the case is to go and do the same thing. The same thing with the lawyers. I don't know if you've experienced that of this yourself, but at least you've heard about it, where people are like, well, if you're looking to beat a case, you better go get a Jewish lawyer, or you better go get a, you know, a white lawyer, whatever the case is. And, you know, it's not always first choice that they're going to go and get the black attorney, not because we're not qualified, but it's the whole like perception thing. But I feel like a lot of that still goes into the businesses. And like one of my friends made a comment on social media that really, I think, hit home with that. You know, the same people that you have on your timeline that sees what's going on, that might like, you know, the things that you're doing, that's aware of what it is that's happening, are not necessarily really supporting. And it's not because your quality is not good or whatever the case is, but you'll see them be the first person in line for like something else that's very similar to what you're doing, that's done by like another group or whatever the case is. And people like to say that I think it's because of the excuses that friends and family, and I'm part of the problem too, because, you know, I don't support as much as I should with everything. If they say that it's because of time, and it's because of, you know, they don't have enough time, they don't have the energy. But then when you see that we all have time to go and like go to 5 different Popeyes and Chick-fil-A's to go find sandwiches that we've already probably tasted, to now do a whole hour video on, to be part of this thing. And it's like, you could have probably taken 2 minutes to kind of like repost this, or to go and maybe purchase. If your friend's been in business for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and you still haven't bought not one damn thing. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's like, I think that when you're in the business world and you have friends who are within the business world, and now you're actually seeing things from a different lens, you realize it more so than those who are, I guess, are not. And this Chick-fil-A thing, Popeyes thing, you know, I think to the black entrepreneur community is like a red flag. Not really a red flag, but like a reminder. Because I think even Candy Burris, you know, who is a billionaire, millionaire or whatever in her own right, even made a comment to the same point. Like, wow, like, so we got time, but we don't have time to really support our own within the community.
And Candy Black Ass know that she took her ass down to Popeye's.
She probably owns a franchise, but still. but it's still, you know, it still goes to that point where it's like, we have to do better on so many fronts. But yeah.
And I'll say this too, like, again, you know, I'm not going to necessarily like equivocate like the whole chicken debacle, or whatever you want to call it, the whole chicken debate, with the lack of support for you know, black businesses within our community. But just talking about that as its own standalone issue, the lack of support that we give each other as a community, like that's a real issue. And I think that it goes back to, you know, as a community, like, I can remember, like, even, like, my grandmother or, you know, and other older people, you know, growing up, like, not wanting to necessarily go to a black doctor, only wanting to go to a white doctor.
Yeah.
You know? And there are a lot of people who still subscribe to, like, that, you know, thought process. There was a friend of mine posted a Facebook post of someone that she knows, and her parents' daughter had just finished her freshman year at an HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother was like talking about how she was pulling the daughter out and putting her into a, you know, a predominantly white institution that was a little bit closer to home. And she just spent the remainder of the post like pretty much like bad mouthing HBCU and saying, you know, I wasn't really with the whole HBCU thing. It's nothing but a clout chase. And things of nature. And it's like, you know, it's one thing to like bad mouth. If you had a bad experience with one institution that happens to be an HBCU, sure, you can talk about what those issues are. But to, as an African-American person, to completely, you know, diminish, you know, everything that HBCUs do for this country and black children, you know, young men and women, rather, you know, in this country, as far as providing education, like, to me, that's just kind of ignorant and a tad bit more teetering on the edge of, you know, maybe some internalized self hate or self issues.
You know, so, and that goes back to, you know, what we're talking about with Black people sometimes having issues trusting one another with our, you know, our healthcare or with our legal affairs or even just with our business. And instead going to, you know, a company or a corporation or a person outside of the community because they've been conditioned to think that, you know, what white people have or what white people or white just whiteness in general is superior to or blackness, or that whiteness equals better or superiority. And yeah, it's really a shame because, like, you know, people talk about white supremacy, like, you don't have to be white to subscribe to some of the tenets of white supremacy, you know. And for some reason, like, this woman, she thought that, you know, her child going to a white institution would automatically just mean that everything in the world would be better for her child because she's not going to a black school anymore. And, you know, that same school of thought, a lot of people follow, you know, our students in that same school of thought when it comes to supporting, like, black businesses. It's like, well, I don't, you know, we take too long to do things, or black people, we're always late. You know, it's just like a lot of, like, ignorant comments that people make like that. So I definitely agree with you that there is an issue when it comes to black people trusting one another, you know, with the black dollar, you know, for certain things. And it's certainly having an effect on, you know, the lack of wealth and income growth, you know, within our community. So I certainly agree with you there. I don't know what the answer to that is, because it just seems like we've been conditioned, I think, for so long to just believe that, you know, sometimes superiority.
And even us as professionals have, like you said, like, you know, a lot of people still subscribe to these thoughts. And even us as professionals, I think, you know, we do have that bias or that idea. It might not necessarily be, you know, for everything, but there is some sort of like, you know what, these black businesses or black people or whatever the case is. Like, even as professionals, you still find yourself going down that rabbit hole at times. So I think that is definitely something that needs to be investigated, maybe studied a little harder. I don't know where the researchers are out there to research, you know, not necessarily just the why, but what's the solution? How do we come above this? Because it is a fact that black people are, like, you know, we consume the most, and our dollars are going out to support all sorts of people. And I am happy that I'm seeing a trend more so now of black entrepreneurs owning the, you know, the weave shops and getting, importing the hairs themselves, as opposed to going to, you know, the Chinese markets or the Indonesian markets or whatever the case is. And there are a lot of black owned creatives making their own products, making their own things.
Right.
But now it's like, yeah, we have this influx in a sense of black owned businesses, you know, pretty much everybody owns some sort of business at this point, or at least they're about to, or they're planning on it. You know, even like the podcast is a business of itself as well, too. Like, it's all business. But now it's like, well, how do we now, you know, ensure that the money is actually, it's not going to all come back. For people to say, you know, all the money got to come back to the black community, it's not going to happen. You're going to buy things from white people, Chinese people, whatever it is. But how do we restore or restore the trust or create the trust in which most of our money is not leaving and staying out, but we're actually supporting our own and actually, you know, trusting our own in terms of, you know, whether it be for professional services or for retail needs.
It's psychological, you know. I think that what you're talking about, it's not even something as simple as, you know, I don't buy from black people because I just don't like black people. Like, It's psychological. Like, I just think that, you know, as I said before, we've been conditioned to believe for so long in this country and this world, you know, that, you know, whiteness, you know, equals, you know, greatness or superiority or betterness. I was watching an episode of Queen Sugar the other night, and one of the characters got into Charlie, who's one of the main characters. She got into an argument with a white lady in this show. They were like in competing like sugar mill businesses or something like that. And the white lady essentially said to her, you know what, my favorite part of, you know, doing this business is you take the brown sugar cane and you wash it of all its impurities and it comes out white as snow the way that it should be. And it's just like, you know, that is the way that the world works. Like, you know, the blackness equals spottiness, blackness equals dirtiness, whiteness equals purity and cleanness. You know, and it's a real like psychological thing. I'm certainly, it's far above my pay grade to try to figure that out. But
but there are people out there who are getting paid to find these things out. So we need to figure out who you are. And it's definitely deeply rooted, obviously, in our history as people of color, in not just in this country, but in whatever, you know, in Haiti, even in whatever countries we've come from. But I feel like something like we can't just sit back and say, you know, we can't just accept anymore that it's psychological and that this is just kind of how it is. Like we need, in order for us, I think, to truly move forward in this society, move forward in this community, and to really reap the real benefits of our communities and our hard work, like we need to get to the bottom of it. Because I think now that I've been, you know, in the entrepreneurial world for the last couple of years, even though it's like more of my side thing and it's not my full gig, like I definitely have, like my eyes have opened in ways that I never thought it would. And my perception and my, you know, my mentality even has totally shifted now. And I see things much more differently and I look at things a little more critically. And I, you know, I feel things a little different in terms, you know, of with the business mindset. And I'm like, so for me, it's like, we need to figure this out, because not just for me, like I could shut my shop down tomorrow, but there are other people who like the entrepreneurial thing is their livelihood. Yeah. Like this is their bread and butter, nine to nine, whatever. This is their daily living. And we know, and I have to try, and I sit back for myself and I'm like, I have a million friends who have products and who have whatever. I have to like, for myself, how can I support my friends? Okay, I love lipstick. I have two friends who actually create lipsticks. Maybe I can purchase from them. You know, like, and really intentionally look to see, you know, I like body butters. I know a million people now making body butters. Maybe this month I'll get it from this person. And trying to find ways to really support and not just purchase it, but go on, you know, do a mini review on my social media. Or, you know, when you take a picture, you know, hair by so-and-so, lipstick by so-and-so, and really give people the credit, you know, that, you know, they're due.
Right. No, I agree with that. And, you know, certainly it would certainly help, you know, Black businesses, more people took the approach that you seem to take, which is, like you said, using your social media platforms and finding the time to try to, because you want someone to do the same for you.
Exactly.
You know, and certainly, you know, I'm a writer, like moving, you know, certainly I certainly want people to share my work and things of that nature. So, you know, I definitely try to support, you know, other people, other young, you know, Black, you know, entrepreneurs and creatives that I see, you know, moving. And I try to, you know, I think we all try to support one another. So we certainly have to figure out a way to get more people to engage in that.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that.
Sorry.
But I'm not blaming Popeyes.
I'm not saying I'm blaming Popeyes, but I feel like, again, it's kind of like when you do like research study and you do and you do observational work. That's kind of what it is. So it's not saying that Popeyes is the cause. I am not saying that at all. Nobody's actually the cause. No business is the cause. It's the community, I would say. Like the issue, again, like we discussed, it's psychological. It's something that needs to be remedied, though, because it's these incidences highlight to me that, oh, it's not that you don't have time to support, because that is the excuse. Oh, we don't really have time, you know. Oh, my social media, I only use it for this, or I don't really post a lot, or I don't really do this. But then when you see things like that, it's like, whoa, the whole week you're talking about Chick-fil-A, you got time. You have time. You have the ability, like you have. So it just highlights, I think that's the part that this Popeye stuff, and like I said, there's been other issues, you know, things in the past that have created this type of like that hype that, again, highlight over and over again. It's not really the fact that we can't. It might be the fact that we won't. And if we won't, why is that? Okay, it's psychological. How do we get to the bottom of it? So,
yeah, but we can't. But you also said that we have to be careful to not try to shame people into like supporting.
No, definitely not.
I'm not saying that's what you're doing. But I've seen people,
there
like,
are people,
you know,
yeah.
Also, who are like, you know, you know, you won't, you know,
know, y'all, I see y'all will do this, but you won't do that. Or I hope y'all vote as much. Hope you guys stand in line as much as, you know, to vote as much as you stand in line for these chicken sandwiches. And it's like, we can do two things at once. Like, just because you stand in line for the Popeyes, like, I certainly, you know, frequented Popeyes in an undisclosed amount of times, which I'm not interested in disclosing the amount of times that I went to Popeyes.
But, you know, see, that's the thing. You frequent Popeyes. It's not the issue that you're at Popeyes every other day.
You're a fat shamer.
It's not the fact that you're at Popeyes every other day, but I'm also not seeing on but you're also not, you're not taking hours out of your day widely supporting Popeyes and doing, you're doing what you got to do and that's it.
I'm too busy eating my chicken.
Exactly.
I definitely agree with you about the fact that we got to do more to support one another.
Because, you know, I'm not saying that I'm gonna stop buying from the white people or the Chinese people or whatever the case is. I feel like we could support a variety of different sources, but I think that it definitely is very apparent that there is a lack of support that could be due to many factors. But, you know, either way, at the end of the day, I think that with respect to the Popeyes Chick-fil-A, you said I love Popeyes. Popeyes, you know, in terms of their crispy crust, like there's no real comparison in my opinion, but I've always loved, but I still have always loved Chick-fil-A. But if I did have to choose, I'd say Popeyes. If I had to choose, I'd say Popeyes. Although I do still love Chick-fil-A. I think there are days where the Chick-fil-A is what goes with my palate, but
yeah.
Popeyes hands down.
And I mean, and to keep it for real, I mean, there's going to come a day where I go to Popeyes and I go and get, you know, the big boned chicken breast. And then I'm going to take my ass on over to Chick-fil-A and get the waffle fries and the lemonade.
Because exactly.
I'm going to pair it together.
With the Polynesian sauce.
Absolutely. So, you know, hey, I don't see the issue. I don't see why we can't. See, this is all about, you know, this is what's wrong with the world. That we don't know how to coexist. We don't know how to live together in harmony. I'm going to take that first step, and I'm going to marry the Popeyes sandwich with Chick-fil-A fries and the Polynesian sauce.
Yes, and the lemonade.
I'm going to be a beacon of light for y'all. Watch.
No, you know, and I totally support that. All, you know, as I am slowly but surely moving into a world where I think I'm going to be going back to chicken, Popeyes will see my face. And I think that as Chick-fil-A is popping all up and down New York City now, because at one point you would never find a Chick-fil-A. In fact, the only Chick-fil-A was at NYU campus. Don't ask me how I know that, but I did.
I'm such a Chick-fil-A fanatic, though. Like, whenever I go home to Virginia, like, on the road trip, like, I always, that used to be a thing, like, I always have to stop at Chick-fil-A on a Saturday or the Friday that I go down, because I know that on the Sunday that I come back,
They're worshiping.
They're closed. Chick-fil-A is worshiping. Yeah,
Chick-fil-A is worshiping. Chick-fil-A is worshiping. They're like, listen, we need a day of rest.
They respect the Sabbath.
Yeah. Which still goes to show the power of Chick-fil-A, that they could actually be, you know, off. They could afford to be off one day out of the week and still make $5.7 million.
I mean, it's good chicken. That's a good chicken.
It is good chicken. It's quality.
Yeah, I'm not boycotting. I mean, well, excuse me. I'm not saying no to Chick-fil-A anymore.
No. I mean, there's been so many boycotts of Chick-fil-A. I'm just like, first of all, I don't even want to hear it. This is where I call in ignorance is bliss. I want to be ignorant whenever anybody's talking about Chick-fil-A, I want to be ignorant. I want to be ignorant. I don't want to hear it.
I'm bird boxed to it. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to hear it, because y'all not going to stop me from. I mean, like I said, right now, it's a different story because I'm not eating the meat. But at the end of the day, I still stand in solidarity with the Chick-fil-A menu.
With the menu, I certainly don't subscribe to a lot of their values 100%.
Yeah.
And I'm sure. I mean, the chicken is, listen, guys, I need to eat. I got to eat.
Yeah, no, you, I mean, so much controversy. And we were supposed to, I was like, yeah, we're going to do like 20, 30 minutes. It's been an hour and 20 minutes, my friend.
And we're supposed to keep it light. I thought we were just going to talk about chicken.
We're supposed to keep it like we went to the issues. I mean, well, that's what this show is about. You know, we highlight the issues facing the Black community. So although we could talk about the surface, about, you know, what's out there is the chicken, the Chick-fil-A, Popeye's beef. But what is the core issue? Yeah. What does this really represent in the community? Like you said, the fact that we feel like we have to pick one side, that we are not about harmony and we are not about compromise. We are not about, you know, both best of both worlds. Like, why must we have to pick and choose? Like, why is this a war?
Yeah. Well, I know the next time that I'm on the show, though, I just know that I'm going to have to, like, you know, actually be prepared. I felt like I was back in law school. I felt like I was in class.
I was cold calling you. Bromley. <Yeah. laughs> Mr. Bromley.
This was fun, as always. Much needed conversation, too, yeah.
It definitely is. But you know what? Sometimes it's that impromptu conversation that really sparks. Because a lot of times, you know, we're not always going to agree. Although I do believe that you and I do share a lot of the same, you know, core, I don't know, values, thoughts or whatever. But we're not always going to agree. But it's always good to get different perspectives. And sometimes a lot, what I really like about the show and what I try to aim to get at the show is that gut reaction sometimes. Like, well, how do you really think about things without having to go and research and make sure that we're politically correct on certain things? Like, when you're having a conversation with your boys, like how we used to have conversations during the lunch breaks, you know, with the crew. These Right. were gut, you know, conversations that were like in us, that we were just, you know, we didn't do research before we got together to debate. And so that's really, you know, I guess the goal of this show is to address some of these issues, tackle them on from different perspectives, like with that, you know, that guttural, exchange.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I do have to, you know, we do have to wrap it up because we didn't go over because I don't have a time limit anymore, but I definitely, you know, for those of you who have been with me from the beginning or even halfway through, three quarters of the way, whatever, Paul has been on the show at least three times now, right? This has been three times?
The third time, yeah.
Yeah, this is the third time. And so we are seeking, Paul is actually going to be making regular appearances, I think at least once a month. We're trying to work on maybe twice a month to really start getting to the core of, you know, what the show and the platform was created for, was to address some of these issues in a candid way, you know, talk about lighthearted stuff, talk about some of the important stuff. So Paul has passed his probationary period and he he now gets to be integrated into the According to RP family.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it too. I enjoy coming on the platform. I enjoy having the conversations with you. Hopefully, the listeners are enjoying it too. You know, like Risa said, like, you know, we are not always going to agree, but I think that the way that we disagree, you know, with the level of respect for one another's opinions, mm-hmm. and you know, to, you know, joke and jab around, and having the whole Mars, Venus, male, you know, woman perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
A good mix. It's a good mix. I'm excited about it.
Good mix. Now, all right. So I'm gonna let you get back to your children.
And I know that you're about to go out and be a hot girl.
Well, so listen. I mean, summer. We have like what? You have a couple weeks left. If I could at least capitalize on something.
Yeah.
This is the weekend to do it.
All right. Have a good time.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, I was going to say something very slick, but, you know, I'm going to leave it there. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of According to RP with our very special guest/co-host, PB. We have to come up with a good name for you. I don't know. We can say PB. I like PB. RP and PB. I'll do a poll over the week, the next couple of days, and see what the people think. But hopefully you guys enjoyed the exchange of Paul and I. And if you do like what you hear, you know, give us, you know, let me know if you like Paul, because if you don't like Paul, we could make some changes. But definitely, you know, thank you guys for supporting, and, you know, remember to follow us on Instagram, according to RP. And then, Paul, where are you again on Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram and Twitter. Who is P. Brom? WHOISPBROM.
All right, cool. And with that being said, everyone, have a good night.
See you guys next time.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.